Can't believe that it was only a few years ago, some 40 years ago, that we were sleeping right out there. And now I'm standing up here. That's pretty cool. I have a few books left over there. I don't know that you realize it, but that's the last there are. We printed up several thousand of them, and what you see over there is what we've got. So help yourselves to those this morning. Like I mentioned, the book sells for $25, the CDs sell for $25, but this morning and tomorrow morning, you can get the whole set for just $20, and that includes shipping and handling if you pick them up here. Well, I wonder if anybody remembers anything from yesterday morning. I see a hand there. I see a hand there. There's a hand there. Well, there's some hands in the front row here. That's good. Okay. Very good. You remember something. What do you remember? The coffee pot needs more steps than what's really there, right? Can you name some of those steps that the coffee pot needs if you're going to have coffee? Colton, you got to plug it in, right? What else you got to do? Yes.
Water.
You got to have water. What else you need? Yes. You got to turn it on. Yes. What do you? Oh, you hear that? You got to take out the old so you can put in the new. Yes. You have to choose, right? You have to pick a size, all right? You got to make some choices in all of this. Yes. You got to have an empty cup. Now, I want you to adults to simply recognize the fact that all of those who were children who volunteered, all right? And I know from past experience that if the children get it, there is a chance, just a chance, but there is a chance that the adults may get it too. For indeed, as we go through life and we encounter all sorts of problems, when we find times when it just isn't working for us, you need to go to that instruction manual. You need to look at what it says. And the manual tells us that we need to be plugged in. The manual tells us we need to be turned on to the Lord Jesus Christ. The manual tells us that we need the living water that fills us all the way to the top. The Word tells us that we need to be patient when we encounter all sorts of trials and tribulations. We might even count it all joy. For in the long run, that builds patience in us. And that patience can have its perfect work in us, that we might be complete and lacking nothing. Life is full of choices. As you read in the Old Testament, it says, choose you this day who you will serve. Whether the things of this world or the things of God. Finally, you got to take out the old, put on the new, and present your empty cup to be filled. Dear friends, these are not my words, but these are the words of the Almighty God, who reveals Himself to us that we might know how to live in this world. Well, this morning I want to address another issue that is difficult to understand. For you see, we are a new creation. We are to be born again. Those old things are to pass away, and the new things are to take over in our lives. And we will be changed. The Scripture tells us very clearly that there is a time coming in which we shall be changed. It takes place at the moment of our salvation, when the flesh is crucified and dies, and we are born again, because Jesus brings us to a newness of life. Tells us so in the scriptures. I think we even have a scripture that mentions that, that talks about it. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all, everyone in this room will be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For this perishable must put on the imperishable, and the mortal must put on immortality. It says it's a mystery, and indeed it is sometimes hard to understand these mysteries, but I want you to know that God has chosen to reveal himself and to explain those mysteries to us. And I'm going to suggest this morning that our God has chosen three different ways to reveal his mysteries and to help us understand. He gives us his written word that was written by the prophets of old, was written by the disciples in the Gospels, and Paul himself throughout the New Testament. He has given us that word written by the Holy Spirit. He also gave us Jesus, so that we might see the incarnation himself. So we have the word. We have Christ, who was the Word, is the Word, who was revealed to us. And the third is that he gives us creation, the things he has made. For you can learn about the potter by the pot that he throws. You can learn about the builder by the building he has made. And you learn about God, his invisible attributes, his divine nature and his eternal power through the things that have been created. So this morning we'll look at the Word, we'll look at Jesus, and we'll look at creation to understand this mystery of how we shall be changed. And let's have a word of prayer as we begin. Lord, I ask you to take these few moments that we have together. Lord, I ask you to give me words to share that it would express the importance and the magnitude of this concept, this mystery, that we shall be changed. Lord, I ask your Holy Spirit to interpret these words. I ask you to apply them in each of our lives, and I ask you to change us. I ask you to draw us near to you. I ask you to change our focus away from the things of this world to the things of eternity, that we might be doers and not hearers only. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, God gives us creation to show us all sorts of things. And I believe, it's a personal belief, but I believe that God created monarch butterflies for one particular purpose, so that we might understand what it is to change. The word's metamorphosis, it means to change form. And truly, the monarch butterfly is an example of what it is to change. And it reveals the power of God to make those changes. And if God can do it in a butterfly, he can do it in our lives too. Did you know that the monarch butterfly begins as a tiny little egg, not any larger than the size of a pinhead, a small pinhead? The female butterfly lays eggs on the underside of milkweed plants, usually only one egg per plant. Purpose is not to consume the whole plant, but just to have enough food for that little caterpillar as it hatches from the egg to feed it during its life cycle as a caterpillar. When it is hatching from that egg, it is no longer than the size of a sewing thread, only 1/8 of an inch long. It is tiny. And the first thing it consumes is the eggshell itself. It has the nutrition it needs to get started. And then, after it consumes the eggshell, it begins to eat the milkweed plant itself. Now, they call it a milkweed because if you crack a leaf, white sticky stuff comes out that looks like milk, but it doesn't taste like milk. For you and me, it'll actually make us sick. There's an acid inside of that that makes it taste very sour. And yet, that little caterpillar, after it consumes the shell, begins to feed with mouth parts that are real chewing machines, and it will consume a whole leaf, go to another leaf, consume that whole leaf, but it doesn't ever leave the plant that it's on. That little caterpillar eats and eats, help me out here, and eats and eats and eats and eats and eats. Are you getting tired? Well, that little caterpillar doesn't get tired of eating. It will double its size in the first day. It doubles its size again the second day. It doubles its size again the third day, and the fourth day, and the fifth day, because it eats and eats and eats and eats and eats, just like here at Fort Wilderness. That's what we do here. We eat and eat and eat and eat, and we keep on eating. Now, that little caterpillar, it grows so rapidly that it literally outgrows its skin. I have a real understanding what that's like. But for the caterpillar, God has designed it with a breakaway skin, splits down the back, and underneath it is a whole new skin that is prepared to stretch and grow again. For as it splits out and sheds its skin, it begins immediately to start eating, and it eats and eats and eats and eats and eats until it gets to the point where it outgrows that skin and it splits out again. In the life of a caterpillar, it'll split out its skin up to 4 times. Can you imagine? Because it goes from something the size of a sewing thread, just of 1/8 of an inch long, to a caterpillar about the size of my thumb. How many of you have seen them? And you know what they're like, all right? And they get that big by and eating and eating and eating, all right? You getting the picture? Now, for a caterpillar, when you think about it, it is an incredibly boring life. Because all it does is to... You got it. Okay. And it grows and grows and grows, and it splits out its skin, and it grows some more. And I can't imagine anything more dull and perhaps even frustrating than to maybe I would like that. I was going to say to be an eating machine. Think about it. I could go to Wrangler's breakfast every morning. That would be good. But eating the same thing over and over and over and over and over again, could get a little boring. You see, that little caterpillar has no idea what it's going to become. That little caterpillar has no idea what is in front of it. All it knows is for the moment that it eats and eats and eats. All it knows for the moment is that it only has 6 stubby little legs, that it crawls from leaf to leaf. It has no idea what it will become. And dear friends, in this mystery that we have in Christ, there's no one here who truly has an understanding or a knowledge of what we will become. Our lives can seem pretty boring sometimes. Our lives can seem humdrum and ordinary. But the Scripture tells us that we shall be changed. In the twinkling of an eye, in a moment when the trumpet sounds, we shall become new creations. And God reveals a little bit of what that might be like through the things that He's given us. The monarch butterfly, because at one moment, as that caterpillar gets to a certain point, it has been eating and eating and eating and growing and growing and growing, and then one day, I've seen it. Because we have lots of milkweed at the farm. And in the spring, I'll go out there and I will look for milkweed plants that have got a leaf chewed out. And when I see that there's a leaf chewed out, I look through there and I can find one of those little caterpillars. And I'll bring it back to the house with a whole bunch of milkweed, because that's all it needs. Put it in a jar, and I've been able to watch it. Because one day, the back of that skin splits out. And instead of a caterpillar being in there, there is a chrysalis, a green chrysalis. It's like a case, like an eggshell. And it is studded with gold spots around the crown of that chrysalis. And as it sheds the skin one last time, it has what is called a cremaster. That is, it has got a little hook on one end. And it is able to wiggle out of that last skin that it has and actually work it around that chrysalis. It would be like you and me hanging on to a tree limb with one hand and then stripping off our shirt or our blouse or our sweatshirt and getting it all the way off just by wiggling, and then getting it all the way off the arm and working it around the little hooks that are there and letting it fall off. Ingenious. Matter of fact, that's the first place I understand that Velcro was invented. God did it because the caterpillar will weave a little a string or webbing kind of material, and then the hooks that are on there will hook into that webbing just like Velcro, and it strips off that, and there hangs a chrysalis. Inside the chrysalis, the body parts of the caterpillar literally dissolve. I don't know how it works. Nobody knows how it works. But the body parts completely dissolve and simply become a soup of enzymes and proteins that God then reorganizes. And where there were stubby legs, God works those things together to make long, slender butterfly legs. And where there was a chewing mouth, he rearranges all of that to make a long proboscis. It's a sucking tube. It can be about this long in a little butterfly. That little sucking tube is used to no longer eat milkweed. That sour, poisonous stuff that it's been living on. But that proboscis can now sip the sweet nectar of flowers. It goes from a diet of sour to a diet of sweet nectar from flowers. Quite a change. All of that change takes place, and then over a few days, depending upon how warm it is, which affects the chemical reaction inside of it all, that chrysalis begins to turn transparent. It was green to start with, but now it's transparent, and you can begin to see some of the beautiful orange colorings. And I ask myself, where does that color come from? Because a monarch butterfly caterpillar has no orange in it at all. But as that chrysalis becomes transparent, it becomes very thin, and then one day it splits out. And as it splits out, it reveals a beautiful butterfly within. Now the wings are all folded up, and there is fluid in the abdomen of that caterpillar that, in the process of the struggle of getting out of the chrysalis, the heart of that butterfly is beating so rapidly and so hard that it begins to pump the fluids that are in the abdomen into the wings, and those wings actually inflate. Just like pumping up a tire, like pumping up your air mattress, like pumping up something that you're filling with air. And as that pressure builds inside the wings, they literally unfold. And as they unfold, they begin to dry and harden into butterfly wings. I've seen it myself with my own eyes. I've watched one of those little butterflies then crawl out on my finger. I've seen it work its wings up and down to dry them. And this little butterfly never goes to flight school. Never has any instruction at all. It's been a caterpillar all its life, and now it has new wings. But God has prepared it and equipped it. And as it works those wings, I've had one just lift off of my finger and fly. Fly away. But that's not the end of the whole life cycle of the butterfly, because this monarch butterfly, once it becomes a butterfly, once it can begin to drink the sweet nectar of flowers versus the sour, poisonous, white liquid of the milkweed, it knows where its home is. And these butterflies, in the fall of the year, right about this time, will take off to a place they have never been before, and they will find a location that's only a few acres in size, but it's almost 2,000 miles away. And they will find their new home where they can winter. It's a precise location which isn't too hot, and it isn't too cold. God has prepared it just for them. And they spend the winter down in Mexico in a very small area. If it's too warm, their metabolism is too great, and they use up all of the fat that's stored within them, and they can't make the trip home. If it's too cold, they use up too much of their fuel and they can't make it home. And if it's too warm, they'll actually perish down there. But in the spring, they make the return flight, a total round trip of almost 4,000 miles for some of these butterflies. I mean, that's farther than going to Fort Wilderness. But we do it year after year, don't we? They will fly back to the same location. They will find a new milkweed plant, often within yards of where they actually hatched as a little caterpillar, and they will lay their eggs on the underside of those milkweed leaves, and they'll start a whole new generation. I think God has created monarch butterflies so that we can understand some of this mystery of how you and I will be changed. Before I get into that, I want to show you so you can see with your own eyes what I'm talking about. Got a video off of YouTube. I think you'll like it. It runs only a few minutes, but I want to show you what we're talking about here. Isn't that cool? It's a mystery. There's a lot we don't know. But I wonder what changes that take place in the monarch butterfly are changes for us too. It increases in size. We going to increase in size? Now, some of us are working on it. It has a changed diet. I'm thinking of the wedding feast that we will enjoy in heaven. But I don't know. I just don't know. I think of the mobility that changed with the monarch butterfly. I mean, it was stuck on a milkweed pod, had stubby little legs. All it could do was crawl about, and then it gets these wings, and it can fly. Whole different perspective. I don't know. It's a mystery. I know that Jesus seemed to vanish, came through locked doors, but I just don't know if that's for me. I don't know about my appearance when I'm going to be changed and I go to heaven, but I do know where my home is. For all who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. And we have a home. A lot of things I don't know, but I'm going to suggest to you that there are 5 things that we do know about this mystery, that I will be changed and that you will be changed. Take a look at 1 John chapter 3. It says, "Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be, but we know that when He appears, we will be like Him, because we will see Him just as He is." Friends, I know this for sure, that when we are changed, when the trumpet sounds and in the twinkling of an eye, we are changed, we will be like Jesus. Philippians chapter 3 tells us again that we will be like Jesus. "For our citizenship is now in heaven, from which we eagerly await for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with His body of glory by the exertion of the power that He has, even to subject all things to Himself." We will be like Him and we will be glorious. I really can't imagine what it would be like. But I do know that the change that takes place will be the result of His power and His working in my life. When you think about it, That little caterpillar doesn't contribute much of all to the change in its life except to eat and to eat and to eat. The transformation that takes place within him is all automatic and by the power of the one who created it. And if you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we find these words: "So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown a perishable body. It is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It's raised in glory. It's sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. We know that we will be like Jesus. We know that it will be glorious. We know that it will be imperishable." Now, I know from personal experience that this body that I have right now is perishing. Some of you know that as well, right? There are aches and pains that used to not be here. There are things that I used to be able to do that I can't do now. But this new body, this new creation, this change that will take place, I will be imperishable. I will also be powerful, and you will as well. For it says that we are sown in weakness, but we are raised in power. And it will also be spiritual. Right now it's a natural body, but this new body will be spiritual. Along with that, I believe, goes the fact that it will also be sinless, without sin. I prove every single day that I am related to Adam because of the sin I experience in my own body, in my flesh. I simply can't imagine what it will be like to be without sin and to know the joy of loving one another and of loving the Lord Jesus Christ without the interference of the natural man. It is a mystery, but we shall be changed. There's three things that I would like you to take away this morning. Number one, I'd like you to take away the fact that things that we see and feel in our everyday lives are merely temporary. We are pilgrims and strangers in this world, and the struggles we experience will pass away. These things, this life, this body, is only temporary. Second thing I'd like you to take away this morning is that there is much more than what we experience here on earth. There is much more that is yet to come. Dear friends, this is not our home. We have a place that He's preparing for us. And as we fix our eyes on Jesus, the one that we will be like, as we understand that the problems of this world that we face are indeed merely temporary, and that there is more to our lives than what we can see. Think of that caterpillar. Had no idea what he was going to become. Had no idea that the eating of that sour, poisonous milkweed liquid was only temporary, and that God had prepared him for the sweet nectar of flowers, because he was going to be changed. I want you to understand that today is but temporary. There is much more to come. But finally, I would like to leave you with what I believe is the certainty for all who believe, that we will be like Jesus. So we need to live today in the light of these three things. Understanding that this is temporary. Understanding that there is more to come and it's going to be glorious. And understanding that someday we shall be like Jesus. So let's live like Him too. Amen.